Welcome back to Master the Marketplace with Caspian.
Hi there, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Master the Marketplace with Caspian. We are going to today answer one specific question on today's episode, which is, what do you do if Amazon suspends your account or your listing? And we've got a special guest here, Director of Compliance and Legal at Caspian, Jed Nelson, joining us to help us answer that very question. So, Jed, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me back, Kunal. It's a pleasure to be on.
Fantastic. So, you know, I'm sure people know you. You've been on the show before, but why don't you just tell everyone a little bit about yourself and what you do at Caspian?
Yeah, so I've been at Caspian for a little over 8 years now. I started out in customer service, helped to work out at the warehouse here as we first started processing our own goods and sending to Amazon. And then about 4 years ago, came in and started working on the compliance side. And I've worked my way up through that to become the director of compliance. When I'm not at Caspian, I also am an officer in the Army National Guard here in Washington. And just another tidbit for those who've been following along, in my free time, I love to go fly fishing. It's one of my hobbies.
Fantastic, Jed. So Jed, you know, you do a lot at Caspian, compliance, legal. It's such an important department, but you know, everyone really just talks about, you know, selling on Amazon, all the branding and listings, and you know, people probably ignore this very critical piece of the equation. So maybe tell people a little bit about, like, what's your day-to-day like? How do you run your team? What do you guys focus on? Mostly for other people to learn about, you know, how do you set up a legal compliance department?
Oh, absolutely. So on a day-to-day basis, one of the things that I do is I do the risk management for Caspian. So we want to make sure we have the right processes and people in place to make sure we have controls around everything from our banking and SOX compliance all the way through to the way that we update content, the way we onboard new partners, etc. And so it's taking that 30,000 foot view and trying to understand, hey, where are the risks to our business and where can we put the right processes, policies, and controls in place to make sure that we're mitigating those risks and able to keep the doors open. I also serve as the subject matter expert for the teams. So we have lots and lots of internal questions about various things on Amazon, as well as legal matters, et cetera. And so it's my job to kind of dig in and find out what's happening there. And then a lot of our partners have questions. And so if we can't answer those, you know, directly at the account rep level, they can reach out internally to the resources inside Caspian, like me and my team. And we can help provide those answers to the questions that they have.
Fantastic. Great. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Yep. Then I lead a team of people, so it's not just me. There are four others on the team, and really what their main focus is keeping our accounts in good health, keeping our listings active, making sure that our products are compliant with Amazon, state, local, and federal laws, and that really we're checking all those boxes and following up on everything. That's actually where I started, was in making cases on a day-to-day basis. I do less of that now, but I have a ton of experience.
Fantastic. Great. Well, thank you. I should, you know, use this opportunity to even thank you for keeping our business up and running. It's such a critical piece of what you do every day. So thank you to you and your team. But let's just jump into the main topic, which is, you know, all about account suspension and listings. So let's start with the basics. You know, how would Amazon suspend your account? Like, would you get an email from them? Would you get a call from them? Maybe just explain to our viewers, like, what's the steps involved in getting maybe your account shut down or a listing suspended?
Yeah. So in most cases, you're going to get an email followed by a call. In some cases, you might just get locked out of your account and not really get any kind of a feedback on it. And that's mostly when there's like some kind of legal issue involved. So if you were, I don't know, sourcing products out of Iran or North Korea or something like that, I've heard of cases where the people have just literally lost their accounts without any kind of follow-up. But in most cases, you're going to receive a notification. And about 2 years ago, Amazon, working with the governments in the EU, came up with a plan and said, hey, we're going to give 72 hours between our initial notification and when we suspend an account for most of the violations of our policies. Again, if you're doing something that's really illegal or fraudulent or harming customers, you might not get the 72-hour notice. But in most cases, if you're a good actor trying to follow the rules, they're going to send you an email that says, hey, here's the issue. Once that comes through, within 24 hours after that, you're going to get a call from AHS. what I recommend is if you get that email, go ahead and call AHS yourself. You can go to the performance dashboard on your Seller Central account, and they'll have a call me now button. Click on that call me now button, follow the steps on it, and have them call you immediately. That gives you that extra 24 hours time to write up your plan of action and to get everything set up. And what AHS can do is they're kind of a middle team, account health support. They're a middle team between the seller performance team, who actually does the enforcement actions, and the seller. And so they can look at the specific notes that seller performance left for why they sent you that 72-hour notice. They can give you some advice around where to find the specific policy that they believe you're violating. They can give you advice on how to write a POA. They're there to help make you successful, to understand the issue and be able to address that issue in a timely fashion. So it's a huge step in the right direction. They've been around for a little over a year now, and they're going to try to reach out. Then, once you receive that email from AHS kind of explaining the next steps, they'll send you a second email, and that kind of theoretically, it kicks off the whole process of you going through reviewing the issue and writing the POA yourself. If you don't respond in those 72 hours, this is pretty critical, your account's going to get suspended. So it's very important you take that seriously, you reach out to AHS, or you wait until AHS calls you, and that you follow the steps that they give you. And then just to reiterate, you know, it's Amazon's discretion whether they give you the 72 hours or not. So if they think you're doing something fraudulent, if they think you're a bad actor, they still have the right and the ability to just suspend your account without notice, and even without allowing you to appeal. And it's very rare for that to happen, but it has happened.
And is that the case for international marketplaces too? It's 72 hours all across the board, or it varies?
In my experience, it's 72 hours in the U.S., Canada, Mexico, and the EU. And some of these other places, I'm pretty sure they're trying to follow the same basic protocols. I mean, why reinvent the wheel for every separate marketplace when you have something that works? But I can't speak more specifically to those because I don't have a lot of experience there.
Got it. Great. And is there something that a brand can do? Actually, let's talk about that later. So you get this. Now let's talk about the response process. So, you know, you worked with AHS, you responded, or how would you go about the response process? Like, let's walk through that.
So after I understand all of the parts that led to this to the 72-hour notification, and I feel like I have a really good understanding of what the product is and the issue that's related and the Amazon policy that is being cited by the seller performance team, only then do I start to really work to draft the POA. And the way that Amazon wants their POAs, they're very, very specific. What they're looking for is the root cause of the issue, the actions taken to resolve the issue, and steps taken to prevent the issue going forward. So let's take each one of those in order. The root cause of the issue. Oftentimes, people think, okay, I got the root cause of the issue. I was hit up for an IPR complaint, an intellectual property right complaint. Somebody thinks that I'm selling something that's not legitimate. I bought this at Sears, or I got it through a distributor. It's totally legitimate. You know, I'm fine selling this, and that's the root cause of the issue. What they're missing is, and hopefully they discovered this through their investigation, is that while they may have a legitimate product, it still might be considered trademark infringement because they're not covered under the first sale doctrine. Now, the first sale doctrine basically says that you are allowed to sell a product as it was manufactured by the rights owner, and there have been no changes to the product being sold to the end customer. But in many cases, for instance, with, let's say, snack food, the manufacturer might have certain safety protocols in place and certain reporting protocols around any customer issues, and they might have storage requirements as far as it needs to be maintained in a storage facility that doesn't have a certain amount of humidity around it in order to make sure that it's a positive customer experience. Now, if you're not meeting those requirements, those additional parts of what an authorized seller would be required to do in order to sell this product legally, then technically that brand has a right to file an IPR complaint against you and say that this is not the same thing. This person needs to sell this product as used like new, or not sell this product because it is not the same as what is being sold by an authorized seller. So in that case, the root cause of the issue would be you know, not in terms of the intellectual property rights violation, which is like the higher level piece of it, but drilling down into it and saying, you know, not understanding the first sale doctrine and what that fully entails, or not being able to meet the first sale doctrine in this specific case. So you would argue, hey, my product is legitimate, but I was unaware of these additional factors that I needed to follow through in order to sell this and use their trademarks in order to sell this product as new on Amazon. So once I understand the root cause of the issue, and we've annotated that down, then we talk about actions you've taken to resolve the issue. So in going back to the example of the intellectual property rights complaint, one of the actions you might take is you might reach out to that specific brand that filed the complaint and say, hey, I'm so sorry. I would like to become an authorized seller of your product. I'm happy to buy directly from you. I just need you to approve that and retract your complaint against it. And if you can work that out with that brand, which is always the ideal to move forward, then you can include that as my immediate actions where I reached out directly to the brand, I got authorization to sell, and attached below is the authorization letter I have from the brand. Also attached below is the retraction of the complaint from the brand. And then steps taken to prevent this going forward, this issue going forward, you might say something in terms of I'm only going to work with brands that I have direct relationships with or where I can demonstrate that I am following the first sale doctrine. So you might add in additional parts to that to kind of clarify what's happening. And really, the plan of action can go for restrictive products, it can go for safety complaints, it can go for intellectual property rights issues, you name it. But that same basic format, you want to look at the root cause. What is the root cause? Not just the thing that Amazon's telling you, but the true root cause, that next layer down. The actions you've taken immediately to address that specific complaint, and then the steps long-term you're going to take in order to prevent future complaints like that from occurring.
And Jed, how long should all this should be? I mean, should it like this? Is this like very detailed? Is it a detailed report? Like how much details should anyone put in there, any seller should put in there?
Yeah, so as a general rule, we'd like to make our POAs no longer than 3 pages. And the reason for that is twofold. One, the people reviewing it on the other end can get very bogged down in the details and kind of think that you've missed out on what you should be really digging into. Or maybe they don't read it thoroughly. They're held to time standards on the other end as far as making sure that they're able to review a certain number of these plans of actions throughout the day as part of their working day. And so they might not get to all of the parts of it and might just reject it in general. So normally I like to write it, around 3 pages and then kind of revise and edit it down from there in order to make sure that it's solid. Couple of other pro tips I would highly recommend is provide concrete steps for both immediate and long-term actions. And if you can include dates, that's always a benefit. So for instance, actions taken to resolve the issue. On this day, at this time, I email this email address in order to contact the brand, blah, 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 blah. On this day and this time, the retraction was sent. Like those kind of concrete things that they can point to and verify help to establish credibility in your plan of action. And then on the long-term steps, one thing that I highly recommend is that when you're giving those steps, that they're steps that you can measure and you can document, so that you can, if something happens in the future, you get another intellectual property rights complaint or another similar issue, you can point to it and say, hey, this is what we did at these times in order to prevent this from happening. And here's why we think that either you're incorrect in your assessment that we violated this policy, or here's how we missed that with the steps that we had last time. And then the final kind of pro tip that I would give people is include a link directly to the Amazon policy you're referencing. I've seen plan of actions rejected numerous times with some of the brands we've helped out because the self-performance team doesn't believe you truly understand the policy, that you're just kind of referencing it in general, but you haven't really dug into it and really understand it. So I like to include that link, and I like to include some of the verbiage directly from that policy in the steps that I'm taking. Kind of just, again, establish that credibility. I know what I'm talking about. I understand the rule, and I'm going to make sure that I abide by that rule moving forward.
And then do you have someone from Amazon, if you don't understand something, like can you go back and forth before you officially submit? Like What does that intermediate process look like if you're a newbie and you don't know what to do right now?
Yeah, that's a great question. So in the past, when we first started doing this, yeah, there was no one to talk to. You would submit it, you'd cross your fingers and hope the seller performance would accept. Now with the account health support team, you actually submit your plan of action directly back to them. They will then review it in detail with you to kind of go through what they see on it, what they think is it, you did well, what you might have missed something. They've got a lot of experience. I mean, this is like their regular job, where they're constantly making sure that they're that sellers are able to submit POAs that get accepted by the seller performance team. And so they're going to give you some good advice. And I would encourage sellers, like, even if you disagree with them, take their advice seriously and try to incorporate it. If they give you two thumbs up and say, hey, you're good to go, then feel pretty confident that what you're submitting is going to be accepted by seller performance. But I wouldn't recommend moving forward with a POA that isn't approved by account health support.
So that brings me to another point, which is around do it yourself versus outsource this process to another company, maybe a Caspian or someone else that is, you know, specific to this particular job. What are your thoughts there on like doing it yourself versus working with someone?
Yeah. So it depends on how much you want the results. So for example, like, well, I mean, it really depends on kind of your risk tolerance and what you want to see. You will get a better product from these people like Caspian and some of the other service agencies out there who do this day in and day out. I mean, we've helped a number of brands get reinstated. We've helped them overcome a number of issues. And then we use these same exact processes we help other brands with to maintain our own accounts and to get our own listings reinstated. So we know what we're doing. We do it on a regular basis. And that experience does count. However, you know, if you're price sensitive and whatnot, give it a shot. Spend some time, write up a good plan of action and submit it. And then if they come back with a no, then get one of these you know, paid services involved helping you out. I mean, the worst, there is a risk in there in that your account could be down for a while. And if it's your bread and butter, if it's something you absolutely need and you don't want to do it at all, then by all means, just skip that initial step. But if you have the ability to kind of test it out and try it yourself, that's where I would start. Personally, and try to see if I can submit a POA that would be accepted.
So you make up now. So that brings me to my next question, which was around. So it doesn't get. So if it gets accepted, fantastic. You're back up and you know good to go. You don't get accepted. The 72-hour clock is still on. You don't get accepted within the 72 hours. Then your account could get shut down. And then what? What happens after that? What's the process after that?
Yeah, and this really kind of depends on what the issue is and what seller performance sees. So I've seen it both ways. I've seen where after the first appeal was denied, the account goes down after the 72 hours, and then you're kind of fighting for reinstatement at that point. But I've also seen it where brands have submitted plans of action. The plan of action is denied, but they keep the clock ticking. They're not necessarily immediately shutting down the account. They give you a chance to appeal twice or three times. And it kind of just depends on that the seller performance team, the significance of the issue, a history of the issue. Is this the first time or is this, you know, the ninth time you've had this issue before? Do they think that you're a good actor, you know, who just made a mistake? Or do they think that you've been trying to game the system? There is some variance there. If it's your very, very first time doing it, you're a small account and you're worried about it, there's a good chance that you know, if they reject your plan, that you're not going to get a second chance at it. And if you're worried about that, then by all means, reach out to somebody. But you might be able to get it up on your own and be able to save that additional cash. So it's kind of, you know, where your risk tolerance is and how good of a plan of action you think you can write on your own.
And then after your shutdown, do you still have AHS supporting you throughout, or are they out of the picture?
They will continue to help support you. Really, you can appeal as many times as you want to and continue to do it until your account basically gets like its final appeal to be blocked. And that normally happens sometime between 3 months and 6 months. Even in those cases, like it's not impossible to get an account restarted, but at that point you're probably looking at, you know, hiring a law firm to take Amazon to arbitration, or you're looking to make some kind of a contact with someone at Amazon who can get you re-reviewed. and taking another look at it, it's a lot harder after that, that kind of like final decision's been made. But until that happens, you have AHS support, you can submit multiple plans of action and in order to try to get your account reinstated. If you've tried three times and you haven't got it reinstated on your own, go find someone to help you out. You're probably missing something pretty critical, and getting that second pair of eyes is probably your best bet to get reinstated at that point.
And what are the SLAs for AHS as well as for seller performance? Like, if I submit, can I just call AHS at any given point of time? Like, how do they respond back to you?
Yeah, so AHS is available from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 7 days a week. Every once in a while, I've gotten a weird kind of message that says that they're not available. Just wait 15, 20 minutes and try again. I think that they have some kind of like a, I'm assuming it has something to do with the phone service that they use that allows for the callback information, that there's just a bug in it. But between 6 a.m. and 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time is when you do it. And instead of performance, they're normally pretty good at responding within 72 hours. If they have a major backlog, which about twice a year, normally sometime in the spring between March and May, they get pretty busy. And then in the late August through early October timeframe, they get really, really busy because there's a lot more enforcement actions happening. They might get backed up. But AHS should be able to let you know approximately when they think that you should get a response. And if you don't get a response back in 72 hours or about 3 days, then call AHS back and be like, hey, I need an update on this. Can you check? They can check on the status, the internal status of your plan of action and let you know, hey, it's been reviewed, but they haven't made a decision yet. Or, hey, it's still waiting in the queue. No one's even looked at it yet, et cetera. So they can take a look at that for you and kind of give you some feedback.
Can you talk to seller performance directly or not?
No. Seller performance is gated. People who work on seller performance and trying to reach out to them on an alternate like social media type thing is very difficult. You don't really get access directly to it. AHS is your best bet at being able to understand kind of where they're coming from. They try to keep them as the uninfluenced arbiters of the rules at Amazon.
Right. I mean, I guess, you know, just after you talking, it makes sense as to why, you know, why we have a compliance team as well, because, you know, there's so much involved, especially at the scale that we have. But, you know, every time your account goes down, or like if our account goes down, you know, we're certainly losing sales, we're losing profits. But maybe even share, you know, maybe some historical perspective on, you know, how did we set up our compliance team? Like, you know, that, I think it will just help our viewers understand the reasons why it's so important to have a department like this.
Absolutely. You know, if you're a small seller, I would just make sure that you have somebody whose job or designation is something around making sure that you're compliant with Amazon policy. If you're by yourself, then you kind of own it. Or you can also look to various agencies out there who have the expertise in-house. So for instance, Caspian, we run a managed service, and all of our agency accounts get access to our compliance team and our compliance resources to be able to help make sure that their listing and their accounts stay live. The same tools that we use for our account, we use for all of our partner accounts. But kind of going back to the history of how Caspian, at that time Etails, created its compliance team. It's really interesting. Amazon responds to the media whenever there's a new report about something that's not safe being sold on the marketplace, or there's a new news story about you know, customer reviews or something like that. Almost without fail, you'll see within 24 to 48 hours drastic actions being taken. And this used to be more the case, you know, a decade ago than it is today. I think it was 2013, and I wasn't on the compliance team at this time. I was helping run logistics for Etails, Caspian, at the time. And a big news story hit the news about you could buy unauthorized supplements and products that weren't approved by the FDA on Amazon. And some of these things were actually harmful. They contained ingredients and other things that could hurt people. And as a result, in response to that, Amazon went through and just blocked a ton of products and suspended a number of sellers. And Etails is one of those sellers. And when our account went down, we're like, okay, you know, we got this. We tried to follow through with the process of appealing the account suspension. And on day one, we got rejected. And on day two, we were rejected. And we continued to try to follow up and try to figure it out. Over the course of the next 10 days, about 90% of the organization had nothing to do. We had a couple of international accounts that were still running, so the international team was working on continuing to service those accounts. But I mean, we couldn't do anything on the logistics side. We couldn't send any more FBA inventory into it. We weren't seeing any sales. And I remember Josh Neblett, our CEO at the time, he got up on the table and said, "Hey, everyone, you know, we're doing our best to try to get reinstated. But at this point, you know, I'm not positive that we're going to be able to do that. And it's possible that the company, you know, and all 60 employees, you know, we might not survive this." And it was pretty crushing. The mood around the office was really hard. Now, we did get reinstated, and part of the plan of action that got us reinstated was the promise to create a compliance team and to ensure that we were compliant with Amazon policies. And so from there, we hired our first compliance employees and really began to build it and really began to build processes in place and a way to screen products and a way to screen partners and to make sure that we were following up on a regular basis to know any updates to policies, et cetera, so that we wouldn't have that happen again. And I can tell you since then, we've been suspended a handful of times, but each time it's been less than 24 hours, and we've been able to address the concerns and get better because of it. And Amazon's also improved too. Like, I feel like in the early days, it was very, very difficult to kind of get feedback and know kind of what, why you were suspended and what you needed to do to get reinstated. And now they're a little bit more straightforward. We have the performance notification dash. They have the AHS team. There's more information out there. And there's also agencies out there you can reach out to who have even more experience working with those teams to help you get reinstated. So it doesn't need to be as terrifying for your business as it was for us, you know, in 2013.
I mean, that is a fantastic story. And I think it should... I mean, I don't want to scare viewers or, you know, our listeners, but it's so critical that you get this compliance story right. Like, it can wipe off your business if your account is down, especially when you're dependent on Amazon. I guess, you know, before we end, Jed, I was going to end on this topic, but I wanted, you know, maybe one more question just around like account suspension versus maybe just getting a listing removed or something. Like, you know, can you clarify the differences as to when one or the other would happen?
Yeah. So it's based on what seller performance and the seller performance team kind of determines. But it's a lot more common to have a listing suspended. And a listing could be suspended for a wide number of issues, everything from you're not using variations correctly, there's content in your listing that doesn't meet Amazon's restricted products policies or local, state, or federal laws, any one of those things. And so what often happens with those is the listing gets pulled down and you have to kind of fix the issue. In some of those cases, they'll say, "Hey, this is more systemic. We're going to use, you know, these three examples, and we want you to just fix, you know, your listing issues." And so they'll send those to you, and you'll still have to do the whole same plan of action piece to it. But your account isn't necessarily at risk. So then you come up with a plan that says, "Hey, like, we've had these issues in the past with variations, and here's what we did immediately to fix the three listings that you've given us as examples. And long term, these are the new policies or procedures we put in place to make sure that all of our variations going forward meet Amazon's requirements." And so those are that next level of POA. But let's just say that, you know, you did that and you're still having issues with your listing variations. You're still creating things that aren't compliant. That's when Amazon might end up coming along and saying, "Hey, like, we took your listings down, you submitted a POA, but you're still having issues. Now we're going to threaten you with an account suspension or suspend your account if you don't get this fixed." In some cases, particularly when it comes to intellectual property rights, fraud, customer experience, they may be more proactive. You might not necessarily get that listing suspended, then the chance to present a POA for, you know, a few of those issues before you get all the way to the account suspension. They might just choose to go straight up and suspend your account or give you the 72-hour notification. But in more cases, I would say particularly more recently, they've tended to try to want to escalate and educate as opposed to just, you know, use the hammer of account suspension on every single seller. So I don't know. Did that answer the question?
Yeah, no, absolutely. That was fantastic. Well, Jed, everything that you said today, extremely useful, extremely critical. You know, this directly correlates to to keeping your business alive, you know, and I think that is so important. It's risk management. You know, we can talk about growing sales and growing your business on Amazon. That's one aspect of everything. But this piece is to, you know, if this piece is not in place, like everything else doesn't matter. So it's extremely critical that every brand, every business that's selling on Amazon, any other marketplace, you know, has this piece of their business figured out. So Jed, thank you again for being on the show. I appreciate you having you here. Your thoughts are always very valuable and welcome, and I'm sure our viewers would really enjoy it. So thank you for being on the show.
Thanks for having me, Kunal. It's always a pleasure.
Awesome. Well, thank you again, everyone, for another episode of Master the Marketplace. So we will see you next time as we talk more about Amazon, Walmart, eBay, and selling on different marketplaces. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Through conversations with experts in online retail, with years of marketing, compliance, and inventory management experience, we seek to empower our listeners to master the marketplace. Thanks for listening. We hope to see you next time on Master the Marketplace with Caspian.